Welcome to an hour of teaching, which is the second hour in a series on 46 fulfilled prophecies of the Lord's second coming. This to me is a very exciting thing to teach, and I hope that you will enjoy it. So let's, first of all, as we normally try to do, ask the help of the Lord. And we know that as we ask the help of the Lord, He does give us understanding of these prophecies. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and Father, we ask in Jesus' name that the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes down upon all of us. And both I myself and all those that are watching, Lord, understand the beauty of your word and understand with our hearts how prophecies are being fulfilled today, right and left. Help us to understand that your son Jesus is coming soon. Praise God. Well, last teaching in the first of this series, I mentioned that we would be having a study concerning 46 fulfilled prophecies of the Lord's second coming. I'm going to show you that there's a prophecy that was given in the scripture. I'm going to give you the exact book, the chapter, the verse, 46 of these, and then show how today either these prophecies have been fulfilled or they are in the process of being fulfilled. And they all show that Jesus is coming very, very soon. We laid a certain amount of stress in the first teaching on the fact that the greatest of all the signs is that Israel is back again in the land. We discussed that where all the prophets of the Old Testament had shown that when the Lord came in power and glory, His people would be back in the land. Well, now, praise God, Israel is back in the land, and Jesus says that the generation that sees the fig tree, Israel, putting forth its leaves, coming life again, that generation is to see a second coming. So therefore, the first sign that we discussed last time was that Israel is a nation, a fulfilled prophecy. Secondly, Jesus had said that as it was in the days of Noah, so would the coming of the Son of Man be. What do we notice at Noah's time? We saw that the earth was filled with violence. And there's tremendous violence everywhere now. In the big cities, it's something that is terror. Really, it's like terror in the hearts of so many, many people. The third sign that we gave, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, we looked at Genesis chapter 19, and we saw that homosexuality was one of the things that characterized, that characterized the time of Lot. And we see that today there's a great rise in homosexuality. We saw the fourth sign was from Psalm 102, verse 16, where it says, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. We know that Israel is now the third most powerful nation on the face of the earth. Prophecy fulfilled. And when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. So you see, the fact that Israel is so strong, the third most powerful nation on the face of the earth, shows that the Lord is soon going to come in his glory in his great second coming. The fifth sign that we took was that in Isaiah chapter 19 and verse 5, speaking of Egypt, it says that during the great tribulation period, the river, referring to the Nile River, shall be dried up. Since 1970, a dam, the High Aswan Dam, has existed. It has been built since 1970, and a person who would control this dam, such as the Antichrist, could stop the waters of the Nile. And what Isaiah prophesied, indeed, now is capable of coming to pass, even by human means. Very exciting. The sixth sign that we discussed last week was speaking of the fact that Isaiah, chapter 35, verse 1, said concerning the time of the Lord's coming again, that the desert shall bloom or shall blossom like the rose. And I read an article not too long ago where the preceding year Israel had exported over 50 million roses. The rains have come back to the land, and therefore these things can happen. While Israel was gone for centuries and centuries, they virtually had no rain back there. But then caused the rains to fall again, begin falling towards the end of the last century, and now they have their rains. So beginning now with the seventh prophecy in our 46, The seventh one is from Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 8. And there it says as follows, Isaiah 66, 8. Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And we know that on May the 14th, 1948, in one day, by a stroke of the pen, Israel was made a nation. Praise God, prophecy that is fulfilled. The eighth prophecy that is fulfilled, Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 24. The prophecy here that was given by Ezekiel under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Ezekiel 36, 24, says, "For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all countries." Notice the word all countries, "and will bring you into your own land." The Lord is the one that really brought them back, and today there are Jews in Israel from over 100 different nations. So it's exciting to realize that Ezekiel a long time ago said that they would be brought forth back again into their own land from all the countries of the world. In fact, there are some that say, the latest figure that I read was that there are Jews in Israel from over 120 different nations. Praise God. The ninth prophecy, Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 30. Excuse me. And in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 30, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Ezekiel said, "And I will multiply the fruit of the tree." It's an amazing thing, but one of the largest exporters of fruit in the entire free world today is Israel. You can go to your supermarket oftentimes and you can buy oranges that were grown in Israel. It is prophecy fulfilled. Number 10, Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 25 says something very interesting. It says, "And they," this would be the Jewish people, "shall dwell in the land." In other words, after the Lord brings them back from all countries, they shall dwell in the land. And then Ezekiel, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, says, "Forever." Now you see, that explains the fact why since 1948 there have been four major wars over there. Less than 4 million Jews, and there's about 100 million Arabs there in the Middle East, and yet despite the overwhelming odds, little Israel always comes out on top. Why? God made a promise to them through Ezekiel that once he brought them back from their great dispersion, that they would stay there forever. No one is going to be able to push them into the sea. Prophecy again fulfilled. Number 11, Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 15 and 16. Now, this is interesting because this verse tells of a nation from the, quote, "uttermost north of Israel that will attack Israel in the latter days." Now, this is a prophecy that has not been fulfilled yet, but it is in the process of fulfillment, because if you look at Jerusalem and then you look to the uttermost north, there is a city, and the city is Moscow. And the Soviet Union is very hostile towards the nation of Israel. And Ezekiel tells us that this nation to the uttermost north will attack Israel. And we know the attack hasn't taken place yet, but it will soon. But we see the nation there poised, ready for attack, and very hostile. So therefore, that is prophecy fulfilled. Almost fulfilled anyway. And then the twelfth prophecy. Oh, one other little thing too. If you read this on your own, you'll notice that the word Russia is not given, but it uses the term land of Magog. Magog is mentioned in Genesis chapter 10 as one of the grandsons of Noah. And then according to those who study the Bible and they study the migration of the nations, Magog settled in the land that was north of the Caucasus Mountains, and this, of course, would be where modern Russia is. So therefore, you can figure it out either from the land to the uttermost north, or it's called also Magog, and according to those who study these matters, Magog migrated to that area north of the Caucasus Mountains, which is, of course, Russia. So therefore, Russia is the one that is hostile to Israel and, indeed, soon will attack Israel, but be defeated. Russia is going to fall. Russia will meet its end, its demise, because of little Israel. Why? Will Israel in itself? No, because God is in Israel. God is with the Israelites, even though they still are rejecting his son Jesus, by and large. But he's made a promise that once he brings them back, they will not leave the land. Praise the Lord. Then the 12th prophecy that is being fulfilled is Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 5. And it says, Persia will be with this nation from the uttermost north, namely Russia, in attacking Israel. Now, Persia at the time of Ezekiel referred to really the Persian Empire. And today, this would be essentially the Arab nations. So it says that the Arab nations will be with Russia in attacking Israel. And as the Jews have come back in 1948, they have not been welcomed by the Arabs. There's tremendous hostility there, as we all know. And when the attack is made, the Arabs will be with the Russians in attacking Israel. So that's another prophecy that is being in the process of fulfillment. The 13th one, Ezekiel 38:5, also says that, I think the note is that Turkey was part of the Persian Empire. Turkey was part of the Persian Empire. So when it says Persia will attack, that means that the people really of Turkey will be with Russia in attacking Israel. And it's very interesting, as you study the politics going on there in Turkey, they're becoming more and more anti-West, and there's more and more factions that are very pro-Soviet Union. And when the time comes, even though Turkey is a member of NATO right now, by the turmoil that's going on in Turkey, we know that when the showdown comes, Turkey will be with Russia in attacking Israel because it was part of the Persian Empire, and it says Persia will be with Russia in attacking Israel. All right, so that's the 13th one. And then the 14th fulfilled prophecy is Ezekiel chapter 38:5 also, and this concerns Afghanistan. Now, there's a lot of talk about Afghanistan and, you know, the Russians withdrawing their troops and so forth. But the interesting thing is that Afghanistan was also part of the Persian Empire, and it says that Afghanistan, therefore, will be with Russia in attacking Israel. Well, now, even though the Russians, let's suppose that they totally withdraw all their troops, we know that Russia is probably going to have the political climate such in Afghanistan that they're going to really have a tremendous influence on the country. And so, therefore, we see this happening now. It happened a few years ago with the invasion of Afghanistan by the Russians, and whether the Russians would militarily take Afghanistan or whether they would control it politically, when the attack comes against Israel, Afghanistan will be with Russia in attacking. All right. Now, another prophecy being fulfilled, number 15, also from Ezekiel 38:5, is that present-day Egypt was also part of the Persian Empire. And when the attack is made by Russia, Egypt will be with its Arab neighbors in attacking Israel. In fact, very recently, and you see, Egypt is the most powerful of all the Arab nations. They have, they could field in an emergency by pulling up their reserves and everything. They could field a million men, even though they may have probably maybe 300,000 that are in their active army. They could, by pulling up the reserves, have a million men in their army. They're the strongest of all the Arab nations. And Egypt is the old enemy of Israel. And although for a time there was the Camp David Accord, which was an agreement to work out some agreement, it's definitely not going to work. And we can see right now that Egypt is beginning to move more and more with Russia. And with, now that Sadat is dead, we can see that Egypt is moving with its Arab neighbors. And in fact, they have said that they are really the king of the, you might say, of the Arabs, because they have the military power in a greater excess, in a greater amount, than any of the other Arab nations. So therefore, as we watch the political climate and we see Israel moving more and more with the Arabs and with Russia, we know that God's word will come true, that Persia, referring to the Persian Empire, will move against Israel. Egypt will be among those that move against Israel to its own sorrow. All right. Number 16, the 16th fulfilled prophecy is also contained in Ezekiel 38:5, where it mentions that Ethiopia will be with Russia, this nation from the uttermost north that attacks Israel. Now, In the Yom Kippur War of October 1973, Israel, towards the end of that rather brief war, was able to make its way actually into North Africa. This offended Haile Selassie, who was the emperor of Ethiopia, and unfortunately he made the mistake of turning against Israel. And then after he turned his back on Israel, then a very short time later, Selassie was ousted from power, and there is a pro-Soviet regime that is operating now in Ethiopia. But Ethiopia, which refers really to northeastern Africa, as far as the time of Ezekiel goes, those nations, Ethiopia, Somalia, and Sudan, they will be with Russia in attacking Israel. All right? One little thing, too, when we talk about attacking Israel, let's be very, very grateful over the fact that the United States is Israel's chief ally. In other words, just as Russia has backed the Arabs, so the United States of America has backed the only real free nation in the Mideast. But you see, from a scriptural point of view, backing Israel brings blessings upon this country, because God said to Abraham in days gone by, he said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, he says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. And these are the children of Abraham through Isaac. Genesis 17:8 is still true, where the Lord says, I will give unto thee, that would be unto the children of Abraham, the land for an everlasting possession. And that includes 1988. So the United Nations doesn't understand this, but the fact of the matter is God gave the land to Israel. And by the fact that we are backing Israel, this is something that brings God's blessing upon us. We should always do all that we can to influence those in government to continue the strong backing that we have given to Israel, because as we do that, God will see to it that we remain strong. He will bless us. I'll bless those that bless thee. I will curse those that curse thee. We must stand with Israel. That was a little parenthesis, but I want to get that in. Now, the 17th prophecy that is being fulfilled is in Ezekiel 38:5 still. It says that Libya will be with this nation from the uttermost north, Russia, namely when it attacks Israel. And we know that although Gaddafi is the head of Libya today, and he's very, very anti-Israel, at the time of Ezekiel, it referred, just as Ethiopia referred to the northeastern area of Africa, Libya referred to the whole north coast of Africa, anything that would be west of Egypt. And today, we see those nations very anti-Israel. So prophecy is being fulfilled, and Gaddafi is a good example of one who hates Israel. The 18th prophecy says that, this now is in Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 6, the next verse of Ezekiel 38, and it says that Gomer will be with Russia in attacking Israel. Now, Gomer was a grandson of Noah. He's also mentioned in Genesis chapter 10. And then, according to Bible scholars, he migrated to the area that we would call Eastern Europe. And today, this area would form what is called the Warsaw Pact nations, or the satellite nations of Russia. And it would include Bulgaria, Czechoslovakia, East Germany, Hungary, Poland, and Romania. These are part of the Soviet bloc in Eastern Europe, and they are supplying arms, part of their economies to help out Russia, and of course to help out the Arabs in their arming against Israel. The United States has sold some armaments, of course, to the Arabs, but by and large, it is Russia that has armed the Arabs, not the United States. And by and large, the United States has armed Israel. All right. The 19th prophecy, Ezekiel chapter 38, this time verse 7. It says, be thou, Magog, or in other words, Russia, be thou a guard unto them. That would be the Arab nations. And lo and behold, as I just mentioned, when you just study, the amount of nuclear armaments that they have, conventional arms that they have, by and large, they have been supplied by Russia. And so therefore, we see that prophecy has been fulfilled. See, prophecy could have read that let's say the Arab nations would arm the nation to the uttermost north or whatever. But no, it doesn't say that. It says the nation of the uttermost north is going to arm the Arabs. And indeed, that is come to pass. Indeed, it has come to pass. The 20th fulfilled prophecy, Ezekiel chapter 39, verses 6 and 8. So Ezekiel 39, verses 6 and 8 says, "And I will send a fire on Magog," or Russia. And then it speaks about this occurring in one day. Now, this fire very possibly could refer, I'm sure it doesn't refer to a forest fire. It would either refer to the nuclear fire of the United States, if there's a nuclear exchange between the United States and Russia, and God uses the United States to punish Russia, excuse me, as is attempting to move against Israel. Or it could be some, you know, act of God, like where God rained down fire from heaven, as he did in Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord may do the same thing towards Russia, but one way or another, there's going to be fire that will consume Russia. Well, we see the potential for this, obviously, in the nuclear warfare that we have today. And when it comes to a showdown, and both Russia and the United States will be involved in World War III, and the United States is going to suffer under the nuclear fire of Russia, so also it may possibly be that Russia will suffer under the nuclear fire of the United States of America. Or God may intervene, but at any rate, we can see the potential for fulfillment because of the nuclear arsenal today of the United States of America. All right, the next one, Ezekiel chapter 39 and verse 9 says, after this move of Russia against Israel, little Israel is going to win, and there's going to be a lot of dead Russians and dead Arabs, and obviously they're not going to be using their guns anymore, their weapons. So Ezekiel chapter 39 and verse 9 says, "They, the Israeli, shall burn them," that would be the weapons of the invading Russian forces and Arab forces, "for 7 years." So their weapons are going to be burned for 7 years. Now, there's a substance that was invented after World War II that's called lignostone. And this is harder than steel, and yet it's combustible. And the Russians latched onto this very quickly, and we now know that their weapons can burn, and the Israeli are going to use them for wood for 7 years. So that has been fulfilled already. The 22nd prophecy, Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 14, says that the Israeli will wait 7 months to bury the dead Russian and Arab soldiers in the Mideast. Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 15 says that certain special, quote, "barriers" will bury the dead. They actually have to put a marker beside the body. And then they have to, that's an ordinary individual, is not going to touch the bodies, but rather they have to put a marker there, and then special barriers will come along to do the burying. And Ezekiel 39 and verse 12 says that it will take them, after they wait 7 months to even touch these bodies, it'll take another 7 months for the bodies, it'll take them another 7 months to bury the bodies of the Russian and Arab soldiers. All right. Now, what does this indicate? By the fact that they wait for 7 months, this indicates there's some type of radiation that the barriers would be exposed to, so they have to wait. So they wait a full 7 months, and then they have special barriers. They're probably going to have on special suits that would protect them from contamination, either from the radiation of nuclear warfare, or more probably from the results of chemical, biological warfare, some type of poison gas, something like that. But at any rate, they're going to be burying the dead Russians and Arabs for 7 months. But the key thing to notice as far as fulfilled prophecy goes is now, because of the chemical, biological warfare and the radiation that comes from that, we can see why they would have to wait that 7 months before they would come near the bodies. Very interesting. All right, that was number 22. Now, the 23rd one is very interesting, and we'll switch to Western Europe. But the 23rd prophecy that has been fulfilled is that it says in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 24, "And the 10 horns out of this kingdom," all right, "are 10 kings that shall arise." Let's try that again. "And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise." Now, in the context of Daniel chapter 7, this means that from the ashes of the Roman Empire, there would arise a 10-nation confederacy in Western Europe, the heart of the old Roman Empire. And Daniel indicates that this would be at the time of the second coming of Christ. Now, lo and behold, in 1948, there was the beginning of what we call the common market. And they had a desire to form together kind of like the United States of Europe. And so in 1948, the common market began with the Benelux Agreement. At least that was the roots of the common market. There was the Benelux Agreement, and there was Belgium, Netherlands, Luxembourg. And then they grew from 3 to 6 nations in 1957 with the Treaty of Rome. And then Italy, France, and West Germany joined in 1957. And then in 1971, England, Ireland, and Denmark joined, making a total of 9 in the common market. In 1979, Greece made the 10th nation, and there was the full 10. Now, there's also today an 11th and a 12th nation that are in the common market, or what they call it now, the European Union. Now, the 11th and 12th nations are Spain and Portugal. They both came in on the same day. Now, therefore, does this, and then furthermore, there's a 13th nation, that, namely Austria, that is trying to get in. Now, does this nullify prophecy because the book of Daniel talks about the fact that there will be 10 kings or 10 nations that will be in this confederacy? Not so. It doesn't nullify prophecy at all, because Daniel also tells us that one of the things that the leader of these 10 nations is going to do, one of his first acts is to pluck out 3 of the nations. And we see from the book of Revelation chapter 17 that there are still 10 all the way through the tribulation period, even unto the second coming of Christ. Therefore, we can assume that the number would go up to 13, and then pulling out 3, that's done by the Antichrist, would leave the number of 10. So everything is just right on schedule as God has prophesied. But isn't it interesting that not only was Israel made a nation in 1948, but also the roots of the beginning of the common market began in 1948 with the Benelux Agreement. So we have 12, a 13th trying to get in, and even the rapture of the church could take place before this 13th one came in. All right. Now, that was the 23rd prophecy. Now, the 24th prophecy is from, the 23rd one was from Daniel chapter 7 and verse 24. And the 24th prophecy that has been fulfilled is Daniel chapter 7, verses 24 and also 25. This refers to the yet unnamed leader of these 10 nations and says that, quote, he shall speak great words against the Most High. Now, this man is referred to as the little horn. He's referred to as a little horn. He's the leader of one of these 3 nations that comes in after the first 10. And the two nations now that enter Spain and Portugal, and the Austria is trying to get in. But the leader of one of these 3 nations should be the one that we normally refer to as the Antichrist. He's referred to as a little horn in Daniel chapter 7, meaning that the nation from which he comes is not going to be a superpower. And indeed, if you look at Spain or Portugal or Austria, they're not superpowers. But anyway, this man is going to be the Antichrist, and Europe today is desperately looking for a man to be their leader. See, first, the European Union was a political entity, an economic entity. Then it moved to being also a political enemy. They have their own Congress. And now they want to also be a military entity, the nations of the European Union. So they're looking around for someone to be their president, and they want him to be a military man to deal with other nations, but also to be kind of one who coordinates the military forces of the nations. And it's very, very interesting to watch this. They're looking for the man, and this man is going to be the Antichrist. One thing that was said some time ago, back in 1957, the one who said it was a man by the name of Henry Spaak, S-P-A-A-K, and he was the Secretary General of NATO, of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And he said, back in 1957, a long time ago, he says, quote, what we want is a man of sufficient stature to hold the allegiance of all people and to lift us out of the economic morass into which we are sinking. Send us such a man, and listen to this now, and be he God or devil, we will receive him. Isn't that interesting? Now, Jesus, you know, when he was on this earth, he says, I come in my Father's name, you won't receive me, but there's one coming in the future who will come in his own name, and him you will receive. And we know that when this leader of the European Union comes along, he's going to make a treaty, a covenant, with the nation of Israel, according to Daniel 9:27. Portugal doesn't have strong leadership. Spain has fantastically strong leadership in this man, King Juan Carlos. I'm not saying he's the Antichrist. He could be dead tomorrow. But nevertheless, he's someone that I think that we need to watch, because he is the leader of one of the nations that has come into the European Union after the first 10. The Antichrist cannot be one of the first 10. And then also, we need to watch the leadership of the 13th nation that apparently is going to come in, which would be this Waldheim of Austria. Now, if both of these men, or any of them from Spain or from Portugal or from Austria, if they die tomorrow, it doesn't make any difference, because whoever that leader is of the nation that actually becomes the leader of the European Union, he's going to come from one of these nations. So therefore, keep an eye on the leadership of these nations, because the Antichrist will come from the 11th, the 12th, or the 13th nation to come into the common market. That is not my words. That is the words of Daniel chapter 7, verses 8, and Daniel chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. All right. Next prophecy to be fulfilled, or really very close to being fulfilled, is, and this is the 25th one that we're talking about now, this is Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. This says, in the midst of the week, he, referring to the prince that shall come, the Antichrist, he shall cause the sacrifice to cease. Well, it can't cease unless there is sacrifice that the people of Israel have. Now, the interesting thing is that the Orthodox Jews over there want to reinstate animal sacrifice today. In fact, they have a school in Jerusalem that was founded in 1970 where they are training young men who can trace their lineage to the tribe of Levi. There are ways that they can do that, and they are training them in the methods of animal sacrifice, just like occurred in the days of Moses in the Old Testament. So therefore, this is something that has not been fulfilled, but we can see it in the process of being fulfilled, because men are being trained to do this. And if the Antichrist stops it, the animal sacrifice halfway through the tribulation period, he couldn't stop something that hasn't already started. So therefore, we know that it's coming. All right. Then the 26th prophecy, Daniel 11:40, says that the king of the north, Daniel 11:40 is a key verse to know about, because that shows how World War III, which will take place after the rapture of the church, that shows how the World War III will begin. And it says as follows, that the king of the north, referring to Russia, will come against him. Now, that means the Antichrist, who has made the covenant with Israel. So in other words, there's a move of Russia against Israel, but in moving against Israel, there's a move against the Antichrist because of the covenant, the treaty of protection that they have. All right. So therefore, Daniel 11:40 says that the king of the north, Russia, will come against Israel with many ships. Now, the interesting thing is that we know that Russia is this king of the north, and during World War II, they hardly had any ships. They had just a few old ships that the United States really gave them. But now they have the mightiest navy in all of the world. They may not have the best navy in all of the world, but they have the largest navy in all of the world. And here it says that they're going to come with many ships. That's prophecy, really, that is in the process of being fulfilled. The 27th prophecy is Daniel 12:4. Here it says at the time of the end, which would be near the second coming of Christ, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the prophet Daniel said that two signs of the end times would be that there would be a knowledge explosion, and there would be tremendous mobility. Well, because we've had the invention of the airplane and so forth, and because of this knowledge explosion after World War II, we can see that this is prophecy that indeed has been fulfilled. All right, moving to the 28th prophecy that has been fulfilled. In the book of Hosea. Hosea was one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit, but his prophecy was not a long prophecy. But at any rate, in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, "After 2 days will he revive us," talking about the Jewish people. "In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight." Now, the context of Hosea, the end of chapter 5, the beginning of chapter 6, shows that it talks about the dispersion of Israel and their being brought back again. Well, we know from 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, and also from the Psalms, that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So therefore, when it says, "After 2 days will he revive us," you know, a nation couldn't be dispersed and brought back again in 2 days. But when you use the other imagery that the Lord uses in the Scripture about a day being 1,000 years, here we are towards the end of the 20th century, the end, near the end of the second day, as it were, and we find, just like the prophet Hosea said, Israel back in the land. So after 2 days, he will revive us. Now, another thing is that many times in the Old Testament, there's a mention of the Messiah of Israel reigning, but normally it does not say how long the Messiah is going to reign, how long he will actually reign upon this earth. Well, from the book of Revelation chapter 20, 6 times it tells us that the reign of the Messiah will be 1,000 years. Now, don't play around with that. That 1,000 years means 1,000 years. Take it to be that way. All right. The interesting thing is that the Lord told that to the Jews of the Old Testament, that it would be 1,000 years, although not directly, but in somewhat of a cryptic way, a hidden way, right here in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 2, because he says, "After 2 days will he revive us, and in the third day we shall live in his sight." The third day, a day is 1,000 years. That means the time that Jesus will rule from Jerusalem over all the nations of the world. Very interesting. So therefore, we see by the fact that Israel came back into the land in the second half of the 20th century, that shows that the prophet Hosea had to be under the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. All right, the 29th prophecy, Joel chapter 2 and verse 28 says, "And it shall come to pass afterward," in other words, near the time of the second coming, "that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." Lo and behold, there has been a tremendous outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this century. The Azusa Street Revival back in 1906, and then even in the second half of this century, there was the great Pentecostal outpouring of the late 60s and the 70s. And perhaps some of us have been involved in that. We have, you know, had a birth of Pentecost in our lives because of the Lord pouring out His Spirit. That is prophecy that has been fulfilled. All right, now, the 30th prophecy, in Matthew 24, verse 7, Jesus said that one of the characteristics of the time around His coming would be that there would be wars and rumors of wars. There are more dead in this century than from all the wars of times past combined. There are just wars taking place all of the time, all over the world. Number 31, Jesus also said that there would be famines. Rather than having a lot of food, we find that there's terrible famines in the world, and there's thousands upon thousands of people that are starving to death every day in the nations of the third world. In fact, our time is referred to as the age of famines. But this is a fulfillment of prophecy. The 32nd prophecy, Jesus said also that there would be pestilences. Well, pestilence could be translated pollution. And there is a tremendous amount of pollution that is in our rivers and in the oceans and in the air that we breathe. And then also, it could be translated furthermore, a pestilence, I think, could be something that would be referred to as a sickness or an illness like AIDS that is beginning to touch the world. All right, another prophecy that's been fulfilled is Jesus characterized the time as a time of earthquakes. And when you study the charts from the times that earthquakes were first recorded, they are increasing, not decreasing, but they are increasing in frequency and intensity. This is prophecy being fulfilled. The 34th prophecy, Matthew 24, verse 15, Jesus said, "When you shall see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place." In other words, there's going to be a time when the Antichrist is going to stand on Mount Moriah, the Temple Mount, in the tribulation temple, and he's going to proclaim himself as God, and he's going to say, worship me or die. And he's going to stop the sacrifices that are taking place there. Now, the interesting thing is, it says, when you shall see the abomination of desolation, stand in the holy place. All right, now, the holy place refers to Mount Moriah, which is the site of the Temple Mount of Solomon and the beautiful temple of Herod's time. Well, you see, the Jews today very, very much want possession of this mount. See, they're not allowed to really pray in the Temple Mount now. And both the Jews and the Arabs are claiming it. And so we see that by the fact that Jews are back in the land, and it's very, very obvious that they would like to have the Temple Mount, we know indeed that this will come to pass soon. Probably after the rapture of the church, when World War III takes place, probably at that moment, then with the Arabs being defeated and being under the heel of the Antichrist, because Russia's going to lose, the Arabs are going to lose, the Antichrist, who is the friend of Israel, will win. Then, you see, it will happen that they will have their temple mount and their temple sacrifices. But we see them wanting it today. This is a fulfillment of prophecy. 35th prophecy. Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, verse 21, said that there would be great tribulation. Well, because of the nuclear power that we have today, we can see that there would be tribulation beyond anything that man has ever conceived of in the past. Although also we know that from the book of Revelation, part of the tribulation is going to be the influx of demons in a very overt manner onto planet Earth. But by the way, lest some of these things, you know, become fearful to you, remember, it's very, very clear to me as I study the Word of God that the rapture of the church, the removal of His own from this earth will take place before the tribulation period begins. So therefore, don't say, well, I'm so fearful of being under the Antichrist. You will be under the Antichrist. You'll be removed from this earth before the Antichrist is ever revealed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, he who hinders will continue to hinder. That's the church empowered by the Holy Spirit. He who hinders will continue to hinder until he be taken out of the way. How? By the rapture. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, the Antichrist. We're never going to be around to really see who the man is. So therefore, don't worry about going through these things. The Lord will remove us from this earth. Jesus in Luke 21:36 says, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So therefore, let's believe in Jesus and walk honestly before the Lord. And we're not going to see any of this. There may be tribulation from the world. There may be a lot of tribulation for the church if the Lord would delay his coming. See, Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but there's a big difference between the tribulation that we get from Satan and the final 7 years, where the tribulation is not from Satan, but it's the wrath of the Lamb poured out on the world that is Christ rejecting. So therefore, the pre-tribulation rapture is something that I very firmly believe that the Scriptures teach. All right, then moving on. Number 36, in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 24, Jesus said that false prophets shall arise. We can see that today. There's gurus all over the place. There's false prophets. There's false prophets. We had the Bhagwan in Oregon, and they've had, you just name them. They're all over the place, and they're saying, hey, follow after me. So there's many false Christs. These false Christs now are not the Antichrist. The Antichrist is a military man. These false Christs would be more people that would be involved in the religious realm and perhaps a good part of the New Age movement. But anyway, prophecy is being fulfilled. Remember Jones down there in Guyana? All these people, were following after this leader, and then he told them to commit suicide. So they did, but they're these false Christs are all over the place. Number 37, in Luke chapter 21 and verse 11, Jesus says, great signs shall there be from heaven. This is very interesting. There are signs in heaven that are really already appearing. Let me read one thing to you that's kind of interesting. This is a quote from a letter from Russia. This is what it reads. Dear brothers and sisters, I have to tell you another thing that recently happened here. A sign appeared in the sky above the city of Tambov, spelled T-A-M-B-O-V. You can look at it on a map. a white hand with a brush appeared in the clear sky, writing the following words. And each one of these lines really is a scripture. So it says, overcome evil with good. This would be from Romans 12:21. It is winter among my people. Today is the day of repentance. Not one righteous soul will be left among the unrighteous. And not one unrighteous soul will be left among the righteous. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Bring forth the righteous fruit of repentance. I will save and rescue the God-fearing. Gird up your loins like a man. Be strong like a man. See, that's Job chapter 38 and verse 3. Most of these are from Scripture. The time is near. Behold, I am coming soon, and bring my reward with me. That'd be from Revelation 22, 12. All right. Now, and then it's signed, Amen. Now, according to this letter, it says, the hand wrote for 1.5 hour. I gave all those out in just a few seconds. But the hand wrote for 1.5 hour, and the writing remained to read for 3 hours. Everyone in the city read it, and great fear fell upon all. All traffic in the whole city came to an absolute standstill. Now, this was reported on page 6 of the March 16, 1976 issue of the German paper Der Bote, which means messenger, and this is a Mennonite paper. So, yes, there are signs in the sky today, and praise God that he's warning people all over the world about the coming of the Lord. Now, continuing, the 38th prophecy that is being fulfilled. Really, it has been fulfilled. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 and 5 that there would be religious people, quote, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. And today we find that there is a liberal branch within the church, if you want to use that term. It's the Laodicean church, really. But by and large, there are ministers today that have been trained in their seminaries. They don't believe in the physical resurrection of Christ. They don't believe in the blood atonement. They don't believe in the second coming of Christ. It's just, they don't believe in the power of the Scriptures. And it's in many, many churches that have a liberal bent. So notice it's simply a fulfillment of prophecy. At 39 in Revelation chapter 6, verse 8, it says, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill. Imagine one-fourth of the population of the planet dying, and yet now we know that by nuclear warfare this is possible. So therefore it's prophecy in fulfillment. The 40th prophecy, Revelation 9:21, it says, speaking of the people that are left behind during the tribulation period, some of the evil people. Now some people will come to the Lord the hard way by martyrdom during the tribulation period, but there are some that will refuse to repent. And it says, neither repented they of their sorceries. Now, sorcery is a word that comes, it is the Greek word is pharmakia, and we get our word pharmacy or drugs from that. So in other words, prophecy says that at the time near the second coming of Christ, there would be a real drug traffic. This drug traffic has already begun, and it's begun in the last couple of decades, but it's going to continue into the tribulation period. The 41st prophecy, Revelation 11:9, talks about the two witnesses that the Lord has in Jerusalem, and it says that nations shall see the dead bodies of these of the Lord's two witnesses in Jerusalem, and these will be slain by the Antichrist. But it says the whole world is going to see their dead bodies. And for centuries they wondered, how is it possible that the world could see their bodies lying in the street? But lo and behold, now in the second half of the 20th century, television has been invented, and it shows that this prophecy easily can be fulfilled in the near future when this will take place. Prophecy number 42. Revelation 13:7 says, "His power was given him," that is the Antichrist, "over all nations." Today, when we look at the natural man's thinking and we look at the desire that men have for peace, they say, well, here's the answer. What we need is a one-world government. Well, there's going to be a one-world government. A lot of people want a one-world government. But the thing is, they're going to get not a good guy, but there's going to be a bad guy who's going to be on top of the pyramid, and he's going to be called the Antichrist. Prophecy in fulfillment. Prophecy number 43, Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 and 17, says, "And he," which would refer to the Antichrist false prophet, "causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and enslaved, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell except he had the mark." Now, today, we have in the second half of the 20th century credit cards. People are using them all over the nation, all over the world. But there's one problem. You can lose them so easily. And so already people are saying, hey, you know, if you just put an invisible mark on a person's hand, when you go through the supermarket, all you do is you put your hand under there and click. It will give your ID number, and then that amount of money can be subtracted. The money for your groceries can be subtracted from your bank account. And so we have the technology today for this to take place. In other words, for the mark of the beast, as it's sometimes referred to be enforced. All right. Number 44, Revelation 16:12 says that the great river Euphrates was dried up. Now, lo and behold, in 1973, the Russians finished helping the Syrians build a $300 million dam across the Euphrates River. So again, the technology exists to dry up the Euphrates River. This is prophecy in fulfillment. Number 45, Revelation 17:1 speaks of the great harlot, that false religious system of the tribulation period. And then lo and behold, also in 1948, the World Council of Churches was formed. And there's much liberalism in this, and it doesn't just mean Christians. This would include in the World Council of Churches the Buddhists and the Shintoists and all those, just religions from all over the world. Many of them have nothing to do with Christ, and many of them there are some Christians that do belong, but once the Christians are removed, the network around the world has already been set up for a false religious system, and we see today the New Age movement rising and getting stronger all the time. And then the final one, that we have the 46th of the 46 fulfilled prophecies, is that it says in Revelation 18:2, Babylon the Great is fallen. Well, lo and behold, recently they have started to rebuild in Iraq, not Iran, but Iraq, they have started to rebuild the ancient city of Babylon. It's about 50 miles south of Baghdad, which is the capital of Iraq, and they now have approximately 100,000 people there. They are even rebuilding the Tower of Babel as a tourist attraction. So therefore, during the tribulation period, at mid-tribulation, the city of Babylon is going to fall. But praise God, we see prophecy being fulfilled, because now the city of Babylon is being rebuilt on its ancient site in Iraq today. So praise God, that's about all we have time for, but there's 46 now. These, with last time's teaching and this hour's teaching, we have 46 prophecies of the Lord's second coming that either have been fulfilled or are in the process of being fulfilled. So this to me shows that God's word is true, and we are very close to the coming of our Lord. Jesus could come at any time. Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, he says, then look up, because your redemption, not the redemption of the world, but your redemption draws nigh. Praise God, we're living in exciting times. So, if you were a little bit overwhelmed by all this material that I gave you in these 2 hours of teaching, last time and this time, you could get a free audio tape of it if you would like. So, just write to me, Jerry Cooney, in care of Holy Spirit Ministries, Post Office Box 70, Dayton, Oregon, 97114, and ask for tape number 6704, which is the 46 fulfilled prophecies. That's the title that we give it. So therefore, ask for tape number 6704, and then free of charge, we'll send you an audio cassette tape of the teaching that we have today on the 46 fulfilled prophecies. And if you'd like, we can also send you a free catalog, and it'll give a list of a lot of the audio cassette teachings that I have. We make them available free to those that write. So praise God, we're living in exciting times. And remember that even though, you know, there's a lot of turmoil in the world, and after the Lord removes us, there's a 7-year period of tribulation. The good news is that then finally Jesus comes and he rules upon this earth, and there's going to be a kingdom of righteousness and of peace. Praise God. Praise God. If there's someone that's watching this program and you say, I don't belong to the Lord, I'm not a Christian, I'm not a believer, how do I go about it? Say this prayer with me, and you can be a member of the family of God. Say this prayer with me. Jesus, I believe that you're the very Son of the living God. I believe your word is true. I believe that you died on Calvary for my sins, and that God raised you from the dead on the third day. Forgive me, Jesus. Receive me, Lord, and wash me with your blood. Jesus, you said that him that comes to me, I would in no wise reject. So Jesus, I know you accept me. Receive me, Lord. I desire to have you as the one that is in charge of my life. Praise God. If you said that prayer from your heart, if you meant it, Jesus is there with you. He's watching you. He's waiting for you to open the door of your heart. And so therefore, if you said that simple prayer, Jesus, I believe in you, come into my life, indeed he will. The new birth takes place in the split second of time, and you can belong to the Lord. So therefore, rejoice and be happy if you said that prayer with me, if you agreed with my prayer. Get a Bible, study it, find a Bible-believing church, and have fellowship with other Christians. So God bless you, and it's so good to have been with you during this past hour. Brand.